So I have a word this morning. Any idea what the word is? Stretch. It's the word for the morning, and in a weird kind of way, I want that to be the word for 2023. So not just this morning, but for the new year, the word is stretch. The word for our congregation, for our church family, and maybe even for you as individuals if you decide to kind of morph into that a little bit. It also happens to be the title of my rallying cry, my sermon this morning. We're going to call Stretch. Now, this the verse that we're going to be in this morning, or two verses, I love. I love these verses because I feel like they kind of carry a little bit of an attitude with them. And sometimes I think it's okay that, sometimes I think we need a little attitude. Sometimes I think we've become too complacent and we don't have an attitude enough. There is kind of a spirit, there's an anointing in them, I think. And those two verses are Philippians 3, 13 and 14. As I said during my prayer, you've probably heard messages on these. You've probably read them. You've probably studied them. Maybe not. But anyway, this is what it says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. And really, I think our, as we talk about stretch, kind of the sets the stage for our message this morning, but also for what I'd like to set the stage for the church body, Gregory CCC, in 2023. And this is what it says. I'll actually start in verse 12, I guess. It says, "Now, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to be taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, putting off behind what is behind and pushing forward to what is ahead. Press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." In other words, we're turning our back on the past. We're pressing towards the future to that which God has called us to do. I love those verses. Now, I've been kind of contemplating, and I've been meditating on what church looks like in 2023. What we need to do in 2023. What Gregory Community Church needs to do in 2023. And as I said, I don't know why, it's kind of a weird word, but this whole idea of stretch kind of comes to mind. It's the word that the Lord put on my heart. I sense, not just here, but in our culture, in the church body at large, I sense an overarching feeling and attitude that has settled down over most of the country. And in particular, decent, hardworking, God-fearing, country-loving Christians and patriots. And it's this spirit and attitude of, what's the use? In essence, it's a feeling and attitude of, what difference will it make? What difference does it make? We can't change anything. Nothing we've tried has ever worked. And I feel like that is a spirit that has kind of overtaken our country a little bit. This attitude says, and I'm going to say it, the left has outmaneuvered us and overpowered us on every hand, and that there's a big exclamation point, it's hopeless. We give up, we give in, we surrender, we quit fighting. They're trying to do whatever they want to do. They're going to do whatever they want to do anyway, so what is the use? And this is a mentality, I think, that is kind of crippling us as a church. And you know what? It's a terrible sentiment, and it's a terrible feeling anytime. That attitude is terrible anytime. But it's especially hurtful at a time when we should be excitedly, passionately, expectantly celebrating a new year filled with potential, possibilities, and opportunities. That's what we should be doing, but we're not, because we have this sense of, can we really make a difference? We have to understand that this expectancy that rises in our hearts at the threshold of a new year is a God thing, and it's called faith. And here's what I know. The devil has tried to rob us from faith, of our faith, from the hearts of millions of good-hearted, decent Americans. But the sadder truth is this, that the devil has robbed the faith and drained the faith reservoir of millions and millions of Christians all around the world. He has. And we've allowed it to happen. In talking to other Christians and other pastors and other people, I not only sense the frustration and the feelings of hopelessness that have infected our country, I also sense in my spirit the disappointment in the heart of God. I believe that God is disappointed that we, who are His children, born of His Spirit, born of His faith, washed in the blood of the Lamb, pew jumping, aisle running, sin hating, devil stomping Christians, have let the spirit of what's the use get a hold of us. And I think it has disappointed the heart of God that we have allowed it to reach where it has reached. And again, this is not just about Gregory Community Church. This is about the church at large. But if it feels convicting, then maybe it's the Spirit. And I believe it's time that we wake up, and I believe that it's time we shake it off. The Spirit is no less deadly than the viper that fastened onto Paul's hand, and he shook it into the fire. He shook it into the fire. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the person next to you right now and say, it's time we shake it off. It's time we shake it off. This is another verse I want you to hear. You won't want to hear it, but it needs to be said. And it needs to be said because it's a word from the Lord. And this is what it says in Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. So as I was thinking about this message and I was thinking about that verse, God and I had a little dialogue. We had a little conversation. And I want to share a little bit of that conversation and how it went. And it went something like this. As I read that verse, I was obviously convicted a little bit myself. So I tried to counter with God. It's not a good idea. But I did. I tried. And I said, Lord, but your people have been through some really hard times. We've been slapped down over and over. We've been disappointed over and over. And Lord, it seems like they can just run over us, over the top of us, and do whatever they want. And it seems like there's nothing that we can do about it. So there you go, Lord. Now you can see why we've kind of hung up our harps. Now you can see why we don't want to sing anymore. Now you can see why we're down in the dirt with the grubs. So then I said, I guess, Lord, considering those circumstances and the things that we've been through, that this scripture really isn't speaking to us then in this moment, right? And then, of course, God said to me, no, that's not right. You're exactly who I'm speaking to. But I wasn't done. I wasn't done with this chess match with God, and I wasn't going to allow him to have his way that fast. So I said, but Lord, let me remind you, we've been beat up. We've been locked down, we've been muzzled, jabbed, lied to, cheated, and stolen from. And then God looked at me and he said, so? Well, Lord, surely we must be justified to slack off. Surely we must be justified to draw back. Because look at what we've been through. Surely it's okay if we draw back just a little bit. And that's when the Lord said, this is what I want you to understand. I did not say that if you draw back, I wouldn't love you. What I did say is I wouldn't take pleasure in you. The Lord said to me, my love for you is as strong as it has ever been. But when you draw back, I'm not pleasured in you. Because when you draw back, what you're telling me is that you believe more in the world and in the works of the darkness and in the power of the devil than you believe in my word. The Lord said to me, when you draw back, that tells me that you believe more in the power of the enemy than you do in the power of God, and that's why I take no pleasure. Because here's the deal, if we believed in his word, instead of drawing back, we would be reaching up, and we would be stretching out, and we would be storming the gates of hell, and the darker it gets, the more you would praise him. But we aren't doing any of those things. We aren't storming the gates of hell. We aren't stretching out. We aren't reaching up, and we aren't praising him more when things get darker and darker. Instead, we're saying, it's no use. They can seem to do whatever they want to do. And then God said, you lack faith. And without it, you can't please me. You lack faith, and without it, you can't please me. Listen, it's time. It's time that we shame the devil by taking everything that he has said and done in 2022 and using it as proof that we are on the threshold of greatness, that we are on the threshold of blessings, and that we are on the thresholds of things that we never would have thought possible. We need to lift up our hands, we need to square our shoulders, and we need to storm the gates. And what will happen if we storm the gates? God's word said that if we storm the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. God promised it. The problem is we're just laying back complacently and we're not storming. So what do? We stretch. We shake off the drawback spirit and we reach up and we reach forward and we activate our faith. I believe that we have the faith. We're just not activating it. We're just not using it. And I believe that God is angry at the devil. But I believe he's also been very disappointed in many of the saints because they have been more influenced by what the devil is saying than what the Word of God has said and what the Word of God has promised us. In other words, we're believing the lie and we're not believing God's Word. Man, I don't know about you, but I don't ever want God to be disappointed in me. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to take pleasure in me. And when I read that because I've drawn back that the Lord is not taking pleasure in me, that saddens me. I don't want the Lord to be disappointed in me. I don't want to draw back anymore. I want to storm the gates of hell so that the Lord can take pleasure in me. The dictionary defines the word stretch as to straighten one's body or a part of one's body to its full length, typically so as to tighten one's muscles in order to reach something. To tighten one's muscles to reach something. And the part that really got me is this, the tighten one's muscles in order to reach something. And it is way past time that the church flexes its muscles and engages in the spiritual warfare that has attacked us at our very core. We, our faith, the church, and us as Christians have been attacked at the very core of who we are. And it's time we flex our faith muscles, and it's time that we storm the gates and take over. Have you ever stretched something till it hurts? I've done it, maybe intentionally. Maybe unintentionally. You've done something, you stretch something, you're like, oh, man, that hurts. You kind of pay for it for the next day or two or a few days. And that happens because you are pushing the limitations of your muscles. And I believe that 2023 has to be the year that the church stretches its faith muscles until it hurts a little bit. Everything around us is saying, just back down. Just settle down. There's no use fighting. Just relax. Just go with the flow. Don't rock the boat. Don't be a troublemaker. Just accept the new normal. But the Holy Spirit says the opposite. He's saying stretch. He's saying wake up the muscles. He's saying get in the fight. Let the devil know we are still here. Let the devil know that we are still in the fight. And we are still a threat to hell. And it isn't going to be our new normal, because anything that contradicts the Word of God will never be a new normal for us. And I hope that whatever contradicts the Word of God will never be normal to you. If it is, then we've lost. Then we've lost. I believe in the new year, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't settle for battles that you've already won. Don't settle for victories that are already in the books. Don't rest on your laurels or past accomplishments. And don't ease up on the throttle. Excuse me. Isn't that what we tend to do? We tend to look at the things we've already accomplished. Man, look at what we've done. Look where we've come. We can't do that. In fact, the Holy Spirit is saying, it's time to wake up the warrior. It's time to reach for something we've never had. It's time to believe bigger and expect bigger. It's time to turn our faith loose and push for a new anointing and stretch out for new opportunities, new doors to open. I believe that God wants to show off in your life, and I believe that He wants to show off in the life of this church. I believe that He wants to make a spectacle out of you, and I believe that He wants to make a spectacle out of this church, and an undeniable example and evidence and proof of His goodness and victory. That's what God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants to do in this church. He wants to make an undeniable example and evidence, a proof of His goodness in victory. I want us to expect God to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. This is what it says in Mark chapter 2, verse 12. When the lame man picked up his bed and walked home, they said, "We never saw it on this fashion." We as a church can hear those words as well if we're willing to stretch. May we stretch to new heights that leaves the world saying, "Wow, we didn't see that coming." There's a warning that comes with that, though. The devil's had a pretty good grip on much of the church for quite a while. Had a pretty good grip on it. So when we stretch, we're going to be waging war against the enemy. That's what we do. That's what we're going to do. Stretching is a sign to hell that we're waking up. And we're not going to let the devil blind us and bind us and muzzle us and confine us and tell us what to think or do anymore. Stretching is an activation of spiritual resources. Stretching is a notification to heaven that we're ready to cooperate with heaven. And when the angels see us stretching, they know that they are going to be getting assignments to work with us. I want the angels to look down and say, "Look it, God's church is stretching. Be ready, because God's got an assignment for us. God's going to send us to join them, because look it, they're waking up and they're stretching and they're calling on heaven." When we stretch, it's a notification to heaven that we're ready to receive the anointing about to be poured on us. Greater trials mean greater victories. Greater tests mean greater testimonies. Greater fire means more refined gold. And greater tribulation means greater consolation. Believe it for the new year. Let the world see us laughing when we should be crying. Let the world see us dancing when we should be dragging. Let the world see us singing when we should be moaning. And let the world see us shouting when we should really be pouting. The boat might get a little rocky in 2023. But I feel it's time for a big stretch to come. God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes from the place where you are. And I believe that God says to us, this is not it. This is not it. There's more. This is not it. There's far more. I want to give you more. But we have to want more. God will give us more, but we got to want more. We can't be content. We can't be complacent. We got to want to have more. In other words, everything that stirs you up, everything that ignites a fire in you, everything that wakes up the anointing in you, you can have it. You can have it. It can be yours. And then God says to Abraham, now start walking. Stretch the legs. Stretch the faith. Start reaching. Start believing. Start pressing into the new. Where did Abraham's promised land begin? It began with his first step. And where did his property line end? With his last. I knew that was coming. Remember when I told you I said that it was my fault? Is this on? Okay. This is what I said when we had issues with the power. I knew what our sermon was going to be on today, and I'm like, that's what I told Mandy. I said, it's my fault. All right. Beautiful. What the devil's been trying to do is manipulate and intimidate us. Been trying to do that this morning already. And he's been trying to make your life so miserable that you're afraid to move. And he's trying to kill that pioneer spirit within us. He's trying to kill the spirit of expectation and the spirit of exploration. Because the spirit of faith and the spirit that can destroy him, and he knows that it can destroy him, and so he's trying to kill that pioneer spirit. Why has the devil gone to such extremes to intimidate us? And why has he gone to such extremes to manipulate us and bring us into captivity? I'll tell you why. Because he's just as afraid as we are. And he's probably more afraid than we are. Because he knows his days are numbered. The devil knows his days are numbered. And we need to remind him that his days are numbered. He knows that the only thing that can stop his globalist new world order to take over is the church. The devil knows that the only thing that can overcome him is the church. And he knows that he that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. He knows the power of the blood of Jesus. He knows the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. And he knows that we have the power to cast him out and to cast him down. We have that power if we will choose to use it. I'm going to close with this because I'm not going to be able to talk for much longer. But none of that matters. None of that matters if he can keep us huddled up in a corner, fear, sucking our thumbs and waiting for the rapture bus. None of that power matters if Satan can keep us in that corner. He knows the power we have, but I'm afraid that we've forgotten about the power that we have. Today, I'm reminding you of the power of the Spirit that has been given to us. As this church starts to stretch again, she's going to start destroying the yokes that have been placed upon her neck. When we begin to stretch, we're going to start to destroy those yokes that have been wrapped around our necks, because the yoke is destroyed by the anointing. Today, in this moment, I'm putting Satan on notice that the church is coming for you. We're coming for you. We're not awake, or we're not asleep anymore. We're awake and we're stretching and we're coming from you. And we are in it to win it. I want you to say this with me as we close. Satan, empowered by the Spirit, we are coming for you. Satan, empowered by the Spirit, we are coming for you. Let's pray. Lord, again, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the reminder this morning that we have the resources. We have the power to wake up, to stretch, to storm the gates of hell. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage and the boldness to come out of the corner, to come out of the corner swinging and fighting and not cowering in the corner, just kind of sucking our thumbs anymore and saying, it's no use. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for the spirit of complacency that the church has displayed over the past several years. Lord, as we wage war against the enemy, empower us with your Spirit, Lord. Pour an anointing over us. Lord, we know that the enemy will not be defeated easily. And we know that he will trip us up. And we know that he will fight back hard. But Lord, remind us that the victory is already ours, and that the greater trials bring a greater blessing. And Lord, we claim that victory, and we claim those blessings in this new year. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And Dan, I was just thinking of something as you were wrapping up and talking about the power of Christ in us. And we're called to be ambassadors. And what do we know about an ambassador? The ambassador goes and represents where they come from. Right? They represent where they come from, and they take all the authority and the power in that representation. Amen?
Amen.
And we are ambassadors in Christ. Please stand if you are able.